Hello, this is James Patrick Kelly, and I have a story for you. I don't know about you, but the waiting room at a doctor's office is one of my least favorite places to be. I mean, you're sitting, reading the doc's old golf magazines or celebrity news from last spring, and you're probably sick, maybe in pain. And so is most everyone else in the room. Okay, maybe that guy over there is just in for his annual checkup. Or maybe he's about to get the results from that biopsy he had last Thursday. It could be nothing. Or surgery. Or a death warrant. Here's a bit of flash fiction, which means you'll only be stuck in the waiting room for a couple of minutes tops. In a story this short, there is not much time for plot twists or character development. But I'm thinking you'll get as creeped out as I was when I wrote it. Because, gentle listener, no matter how bad your diagnosis is, it could be worse. How sick are you? Said the man as he dropped Entertainment Weekly onto the end table. The magazine was 2 months old. Mitch Gelman, the drummer who had hung himself, had the cover. He was grinning like the devil on crack. Sherry blinked at the magazine and then at the man. What? She'd slumped on the sofa, wrapped so tight in dread that the waiting room seemed nothing but a blur of blonde wood and dark cushions. The man nodded at the door behind the receptionist's desk. Waiting for the doc? Sherry didn't have time for prying strangers. None of your business. She didn't have any time at all. The man sat next to her. Right. He picked up a copy of Prevention and fanned himself with it. He was as bland as the furniture, 40-something, going gray, middling build, midnight blue suit, red check tie. It's just that I've seen you here before.
I've never seen you.
He winked and tugged at the knot of his tie.
Maybe you haven't been looking hard enough.
Sherry got up then. She found a new seat next to the front desk. Dawn, the receptionist, was on the phone. She glanced up briefly to see if Sherry needed anything, then went back to what sounded like a difficult call.
I'm not collecting anything, sir, said Dawn. I'm just calling to remind you that Davis Eldenrude has an appointment at 2:15 tomorrow.
Sherry wanted to grab the phone out of Dawn's hands and scream into it.
Don't come in! Don't come anywhere near this place!
It's the pancreatic, isn't it?
The man settled onto the chair beside her.
Doc has seen a lot of that recently.
His voice purred with sympathy. Sherry felt as if hands were pressing against the sides of her head. She fumbled a Kleenex from the box on the end table and touched the corners of her dry eyes. In advanced stage 3, her oncologist said, it moves from the pancreas to the large blood vessels and lymph nodes. She'd been dying for a long time, as it turned out. Years, maybe. And hadn't known it. Palliative care, her oncologist advised, ease the symptoms. Maybe take part in a clinical study? Leave a legacy.
It's not so bad, said the man. Could be worse.
Anger boiled out of her. Worse? She grabbed the man by the lapel of his blue suit. The material was odd, not wool or silk or synthetic. It felt thin as a spider's web.
He's giving me months.
She couldn't believe what she was doing. This wasn't the kind of woman she was.
But then, Sherry wasn't anyone she knew anymore.
That's hard, the man frowned. But believe me, it could be worse.
That's right, Mrs. Garcia, Dawn said. Tomorrow at 3.
No, I don't know what's in the lab report.
The doctor will talk to you tomorrow.
No, I'm just the receptionist, ma'am.
I understand you're concerned.
I'm sorry, I have no access to charts.
With an effort, Sherry released her grip on the man's lapel and then smoothed it with her forefinger.
So, she said, how sick are you?
Since he seemed to know all about her, she felt she had the right to ask. She knew it was monstrous of her, but she was hoping that cancer was eating this nosy son of a bitch, too, that it would put him in a grave.
Oh, I'm not sick.
He settled his hand on hers. His touch was smooth as glass and light as air.
I'm dead.
Mr. Forrester, murmured Dawn.
What? He started. The receptionist curled her forefinger.
Me?
His eyes were suddenly wild.
Already?
She was grinning at them like the devil on crack.
That's right, Mr. Forrester, said Dawn.
The doctor will see you now.
In Greek and Roman mythology, the land of the living was separated from the land of the dead by a river, sometimes called Styx, sometimes Acheron. A ferryman carried the souls of the newly dead across the river to the underworld. The poet Dante put a macabre twist to this myth by making the river Styx the fifth circle of his hell, where sinners drowned and drowned and drowned for all eternity. In this story, the doc is a kind of ferryman. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to do to the chatty Mr. Forrester, but I'm thinking it must be pretty awful if it scares a dead man. At one point, I was going to call this story On the Shore of the Styx, but I figured it wasn't such a good idea to have a story title that required a footnote. If you're new to my work, I'm mostly known for my short stories and novelettes. I've had the honor to win both the Nebula and the Hugo Awards. I also enjoy performing, and with the advent of podcasting, I have found a way to share my readings with new audiences. About a year ago, I was approached by the good folks at Audible.com, who asked if I would consider podcasting some of my stories for them. It took me, maybe 3 seconds to say yes. So I am recording 52 of my stories for something we decided to call James Patrick Kelly's Story Pod. That's most of my best stuff, including all of the award winners. In each installment, I introduce the work, read it, and then talk a little bit about where it came from, and what it means to me. Sort of like this. We just kicked off StoryPod 3.0 a couple of weeks ago. So, if you enjoyed this little foray into flash fiction, you might consider clicking over to www.audible.com/JimKelly. That's J-I-M-K-E-L-L-Y. Just one E, please. This is Jim Kelly. Thanks for listening. I hope I get the chance to read you again someday.